person now. Good morning, church, Cornerstone family. I'm so excited and thankful that I have the opportunity to speak to you guys this morning. It's crazy that I'm here in church. I haven't been in, well, I guess an actual church service in a long time. I know some of you guys probably don't know me, and it makes sense. COVID, we're not meeting in person, so you guys wouldn't see me. But my name is Jordan LaFrance, and I've had the pleasure of being one of your fellow interns this summer. Honestly, I'm sad. The summer has gone by a little way too fast, and the teens were great. And even with COVID and all the legalistic protocols that we had, they still helped me to help me have a great summer. Now, if there's one thing I might ask, I guess a favor you can say of you guys, whether you're watching at home, on your phone, on your tablet, on your toilet, whether you're the singers in front of me, I want you guys to do this. I want you guys to pay attention. And this summer, you know, the interns, our theme actually was to pay attention. And yes, pay attention to your kids, parents, and also keep the attention of your kids, which I found out through Zoom, which I hate, is definitely not the easiest task with high schoolers. Now, but I also hope you guys have been paying attention to some of the things going around in this world, because, I mean, if you've taken the time to look at the news or looked around, it's pretty hectic right now. But the one thing I think I paid attention to and notice, like, over time, I think there's the world creates this side or this parallel that you kind of have to follow, and I think it's time some of us literally just wake up. It's crazy to me. It's either black or it's white. It's Democrat or Republican. You see your privilege or you don't see it. It's just crazy how many different sides or views or parallels. And I hate it, because I feel like society puts us into a box. And I personally hate being into a box. When people put me into a box, it's just not good. But I don't think all things are like that, of course. But if there's one thing I want to talk to you guys about today, I think there is a righteous way and an unrighteous way to go about the way that we're in the times that we're living in right now, which are pretty crazy. Now, my title for today's lesson is Into the Wild. Today, I'm going to talk about the parallel between the Israelites' 40 years in the desert and Jesus' 40 days in the desert. Now, I'll be turning your Bibles over to Numbers 21. And before I actually start there, you know, since it's the end of the summer, you know, teen-led service, I'm going to talk about the summer for a little bit. I know I'm not the only one that feels like this summer, or I guess this year just has not felt normal. And to be honest, I don't even really know what normal feels like anymore. It's normal before quarantine, I can't even remember. Normal now, I guess I'm getting used to, right? And so this summer, I moved away from Athens back to my parents' house for good after being in Athens for the past 3 years for college. And something that came to mind, when I really think about it, I probably haven't felt uncomfortable like ever in my life the way I did this summer. And I haven't felt like this in a very, very long time. Usually I'm always feeling very comfortable. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm very comfortable in my own skin, as hopefully some of you guys can see. And to all my parents who have had college-age kids, so living with you or move back in, which is, there's no problem with that, I truly say this in the most loving way possible. We love y'all to death. We love you guys to death. But it ain't ideal to live with you guys. I'll just be honest. It's not. No one is thinking, like, oh, my gosh. Like, I can't wait to move back into my parents. That's the last thing I was thinking before this summer. I know they're watching at home, but I love you guys. And this summer, at times, of course, me moving away, moving back into my parents and then being away from my friends, I probably felt more isolated than I ever have before. Like, I've felt isolated before, but COVID almost made it like this new type of isolation. And I'll be honest, the beginning of quarantine, it was mighty rough. I mean, a couple of y'all can say that too. I sadly became very complacent with my walk with God, and it scared me for a little bit. I felt as if I was just drifting away slowly from Him. And usually I'm able to like notice it, and I knew I needed to do something about it. And I couldn't just let the isolation, I couldn't let me feeling uncomfortable just let me stop caring about my walk with God. So of course, like the little disciple that I am, you know what we do. I told myself, you know what? I'm gonna go study out isolation. I'm gonna find some examples that I can relate to, I can learn from. You know what we do. And what I came to find out, pretty interesting, pretty insane, what you can find through reading in the Bible. It's a great book. I encourage y'all to read it. Now, there were so many countless times where God, it still confuses me, literally sent people out into the wilderness to isolate themselves and then so they can just have an encounter with Him. I mean, you gotta think about Elijah and God's whispers. You have to think about Moses on Mount Sinai and the burning bush. And for all you Bible scholars out there, I have a list of facts for you guys. I got pretty interesting facts that I found out. All right, first one. Did you know that the definition of wilderness in Greek, which is eremos, I know I said that correct, literally means an isolated place. Second fact, it occurs close to over 300 times in the Bible. And another fact, it was mostly referred to as a desert as well. Now I thought to myself, why in the world would God send people out into the wild? And I go out into the wild myself too. I've probably gone out into the wild or wilderness, you can say, probably the most I ever have in my life this summer. And a lot of people, or modern culture tells you, you find yourself out in the wild, right? You find yourself when you go off the grid. But I think more importantly, God sends us out into the wilderness in order to find Him. God leads people into the desert in order to find Him. People retreat, literally back in those days, retreated to the desert in order to reconnect with Him. They needed to be in a place where there's no distractions, no water, no food, no nothing. Basically, the desert is dry. Y'all know how it is. It's just dry. But they needed that in order to connect with God. Now, even in our, I guess you can say desert season or desert time, even though there might not be anything out there, there can still be different temptations. There can still be different sins that we might want to go back to. And I think that you have to wake up, because if you don't, you're going to get distracted and start going back to the place where God literally just brought you out from. And that was basically the story of most of the Israelites' life. And I get it. I mean, if I was in the hot and dry desert, I can't even lie. It's hot outside. Georgia's hot. That heat is something else. Like, it's just literally crazy. I can't last 5 minutes outside. I can imagine lasting in the desert for 40 years where there's no hope at all. So I would have complained and been angry too. And honestly, Fenton, that's probably how you feel every time you watch a Georgia Tech football game. Now, there are two ways I want to talk about today on how we respond during the season of being in our wilderness. So first, we can either be like the Israelites and be stuck for so long, hence when we're out in public, keep our mask off and then be stuck in this predicament. Or we can respond as Jesus did in the desert, hence put our mask on, and hopefully this can get faster because I hate this. Now, the reason I chose the book of Numbers is honestly ironic. Got another fact for you nerds out there. But numbers, the word numbers in Hebrew literally means in the wilderness. So the book of Numbers covers over the 40 years that the Israelites were wandering in the desert. And if you want to be exact, like Fenton, 38 years, 9 months. I ain't got time to really round, like, I just rounded it up. Now, so here you have Moses leading the Israelites through the desert, and he has to put up with their constant cycles of sin. He has to deal with their judgments of him. I probably would have cracked and, like, smacked, like, all of them. And, I mean, that was Old Testament God, so he had to punish them. He had to react. I mean, I probably would have reacted too, but he was also patient with them. Now, we're going to start off in verse 1 in Numbers 21. And it says, when the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming along the road to Atharim, he attacked the Israelites and captured some of them. Then Israel made this vow to the Lord, if you will deliver these people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities. So the Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them. They completely destroyed them and their towns, so the place was named Hormah. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest the miserable food. I'm going to stop right there. Because at times when I look at this, I've been just like the Israelites and growing impatient, I guess you could say, in this journey we call life. None of us were expecting 2020 to be like this at all. I mean, I was expecting this was going to be my year. This was going to be it. Man, I'm turning 21. It's going up. This was supposed to be the greatest year. This junk hasn't felt like that literally at all. It sucked. And it sadly caused me to lose some trust in God with everything that's going on. And I've complained. I've questioned God. And I mean, I think my feelings are valid. I'm a pretty emotional person. I've had so many thoughts of, God, why would you bring me back to my parents' house? Why are black men actually still, unarmed black men, I can say, still getting shot and killed, and I have to fear literally every time I walk out of my house? Why is COVID affecting so many different lives and killing so many different people? And these are just some, and there's constant just more thoughts that I had. I mean, we're isolated, quarantined. When you're isolated, you just start thinking so many different things. But I think when we complain, it makes God feel that we're not taking him at his word or trusting in his promises that he's going to take care of us. The Israelites complaining was the outward expression of their sin, but where it came from was the deep inward feeling that they had of their distrust in God and Moses' leadership. And the complaining also, in a way, attacked God's character. If you know me, if there's one thing I hate in life, I don't hate that many things in life, but I hate when people attack my character. Literally, I hate it. Don't let this fool you. Like, I'm a completely, maybe it has to do with pride. Maybe I got to work on it. I don't know. Somebody tell me. But when literally anytime someone, because I know who I am in Christ. Like, I've figured that out. But when someone literally comes at me and attacks that, I'm a whole different person. For instance, Fenton just happened to attack my character. After the way I reacted, he probably would have, like, fired me or something. And I'm thinking in my head, if I feel like that with one person attack my character, I can't imagine how God feels when a whole nation is attacking his character. And let's see where the complaining got them. And we're going to continue reading on. In verse 6, then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So, of course, Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. And I want to make a point of how it was the Israelites distrusting God and Moses' leadership that made God so mad. And of course, they had to pay for it with the venomous snakes. And notice how even in verse 7, it's like they noticed that they messed up. They had to repent of it. There he goes, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." How many of us get mad at God for consequences for the sins that we did? How many of us never actually take the time to go to God? See, God had to help them reset their focus on him. So they had to literally go and look and trust in the only thing at that time that could save them, which was the bronze snake. And when I think about it, it's funny because we're talking about parallels, right? Parallels on parallels on parallels today. This is a parallel in itself. So I'm going to give you an example. So it says a snake was put up on a pole. So I'm thinking, okay, a snake is kind of like, I don't know, depending on how big a snake is like this, right? Looks like this. So snake was put up on a pole. Pole is like this. And the people had to look up at the bronze snake for healing. In the same way, we have to look at our sin and then see Jesus on the cross. And if you want to learn about that reference, go to John 3:14. You've also got to think, during that time, there might have been people that were so prideful, so arrogant, like, man, I get bit by the snake, I ain't going to go to look at this bronze snake. I don't want to get healed. Man, bump that snake. I think it's so amazing, and I'm so grateful that this summer I've been able to see three teens. Shout out to Kayla, she's here in the crowd. Shout out to Luke, who's at home. Shout out to Elizabeth. I've been able to see them look at their sin and then go and get baptized and go to Jesus. And I commend you guys, because I remember when I was your age, I was a kingdom kid, but y'all are definitely a whole lot far off than I was. When I was in the teens and trying to figure out my relation with God, I went through a little rough patch. Of course, I was a kingdom kid, seen as a good kid, I guess in the world's eyes, but spiritually I was dead. I mean, technically I wasn't doing drugs, I wasn't sleeping around with girls, I got good grades, right? I was seen as the good child, but spiritually speaking, I was dead. I couldn't see, I was so prideful, I literally couldn't see how my sin had hurt God. And I thought I was a good person. And if we're not careful during this time, we can have the same bad habit and the same bad mindset if we literally don't wake up and notice that our sin is hurting God. Now let's turn over to Luke 4. And we're gonna be looking at another famous example, very famous example of someone still confused, of someone literally being sent into the wilderness to get closer to God. All right, so we're going to start off in verse 1. And it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And I'm not going to read the rest of the story for time's sake. I don't have time for that. But basically, if you don't know the story, Jesus, after he gets baptized, gets sent into the wilderness literally by the Spirit. And then for 40 days, he's tempted and tempted. And Satan just keeps coming after that boy. And remember, Jesus was fully human. 40 days without food. I don't care what none of y'all say. If the devil tempted me every time, like he tempted Jesus, I would have gave in. As soon as the devil told me to turn the stone into bread, forget bread, I would have turned that into a whole Chick-fil-A sandwich meal. And you better make those fries large, well done, and add about like 4 Polynesian sauces. I would have turned, every time he would attempt, I would have been like, ah, man, you got me there. And Jesus, man, this man was probably beat. And I mean beat up. He was probably beat in all aspects. I mean, physically, he was beat. Emotionally, he was beat. and mentally he was beat. And Satan's cunning. Satan's deceiving in a way, it's crazy. He sometimes doesn't even need to attack us specifically, but he'll use our needs against us. It's crazy. He wasn't even specifically attacking Jesus, but was using Jesus's physical needs against him. Satan wasn't attacking his physical needs, but he's using Jesus's physical need of hunger against him. Like, it's just literally a reverse. And a lot of us probably right now are struggling with physical needs because of COVID, which I hate. And some of you are probably out of jobs. You probably lost your job during this time, which I'm definitely like, I care for you guys a lot. Even though I might not know you, I'm praying for you guys. And quick thing. So the church, if you're like really, really, really in need, the church has a food pantry in there in the main lobby. So if you ever really need anything, literally just come there. I guess you'd have to call someone to come get, but you can come there and get food. Also, if you need benevolence, we have a benevolence committee. So if you need any of that stuff, we have it for you. Now, Satan also goes to tell Jesus that he would give him later in the story, later give him everything he needed if he just worshiped him. He was attacking Jesus' sense of instant gratification. Satan, as you can say, basically was selling him a shortcut. I couldn't even imagine what Jesus was going through mentally at this time by himself. For me, personally, I would have been struggling. I wouldn't be able to do it. That's just too hard for me. And this summer, I've had to fight insecurities like I never have before. Usually I'm a very confident person in my own skin. I don't really get that discouraged that much. But even before the internship started, the devil definitely got into my head and definitely fed those insecurities and made them so much bigger than they were. So I guess it wasn't funny. Well, funny story now. So before I started the internships, actually like a week or two before I started the internship, some of us were doing, congratulations to the graduating seniors as well. So basically we're doing car parades because that's what we do now in this age of COVID. Car parades to celebrate all the seniors that graduated. And I think we were doing yours and Zach's. And I remember after doing the parade, we all, of course, were driving back to the neighborhood pool and people were taking stuff off their, like the decorations off their car and like fellowshipping. And I remember I parked my car and I remember looking outside the window and everyone's talking, everyone's interacting with each other. And it was the first time in my life where I felt I didn't belong, which was so scary for me. Usually I'm a very social person, doesn't take me long to get comfortable with people. But for a split, maybe 15, 20 seconds, I almost felt as if I was having a mini panic attack. I couldn't even breathe. And I was so scared and I felt so trapped. And I didn't know what to do. And I know a lot of it was, well, now I know a lot of it now, that it was literally the devil's lies just feeding all the insecurities that I had in my head, and I was listening to them. Thankfully, after a little bit, I was able to say some prayers to God. I was able to take some deep breaths, get out of it, and like snap out of it, and I got out of the car, I was able to interact with everyone. And I wanna say, I think another thing to look at here is how Satan literally tries to out-logic Jesus and put God to the test. He goes, later in the story, if you're really my son, or you're really God's son, jump down. But how many of us do the same exact thing? How many of us have compromised our convictions and found a way to justify it? For example, prosperity preachers. I'm not here to call anyone out. I'm just calling it how it is. Misusing the Bible in scriptures to say that you'll make money if you love God. That is some out If that were the case, I wouldn't have lost $300 before the summer, being impatient and then joining one of my friends' Forex team, money trading team, later to find out it was a whole scam. It's easy to have secret sins or agendas during this quarantine and not let anyone know, which can be pretty scary, but it's easy. We're not seeing each other, or some of us might not be holding each other accountable. I think all of us, though, need to have the response, unlike the Israelites, to respond as Jesus responded when the devil kept coming after him. He responded with scriptures. He knew the scriptures, so it was in his mind. It was on his mindset. You got to be thinking that way. But you also battle with the power of the Holy Spirit, which I'm figuring out this summer. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I'd be a wreck. Now, to close out and wrap this all up, I want to ask you guys a question that I think is very important. During this time, how have you been responding? And what are you going to do moving forward after what we just talked about today? And let's think about it. Summer's about to end. Parents, whether you like it or not, your kid's most likely going to be at home with you. What have you learned from this summer or from this COVID experience to use it in the fall? And I say all of this because eventually, hopefully, COVID is going to pass. I mean, I hope it does. I hate it. If it was up to me, I'd want it to be gone, because I literally hate it. And if you look ahead in verse 13, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. It says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The opportune time. Not our time, but the devil's time. And eventually, and I hope something like this doesn't happen again. Eventually it's going to pass, but that doesn't mean the devil's not going to come back on his opportune time and literally come back to get you and try to tempt you. But what will your response be when that time comes? I think what we can learn is Jesus learned how to resist temptation during his time in the wilderness, or his season of being in the desert, and was able to use it as he went on in his life. What are you going to do with yours? I'm thankful for this opportunity. I love you guys, all of you guys, even though I might not know you. And I hope all you guys have a great day. Thank you.